Wait for it. Fucking intro. This is Pure Decking for Thursday. It's Thursday. I don't know what day it is. August something, 17th. The current year. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and getting drunk way before the show starts because I can. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have the dark is not a he's not afraid of the dark. The dark is afraid of him. Are you 486?
I think that's a false statement.
Okay. Following that, we have stealing BSV's intro. Sard.
Hey, what's up, man?
And finally, we have.
Sard.
I think I did these out of order. Madman.
No. I'm sorry now.
Oh, we are so clipping that. That is clipped.
Cycros in the IRC wants to know, are you afraid of the darkies?
I'm not answering that. 40-foot pole, please, Jeeves.
So in the IRC we have myself, Cyberlord, Cycros, Don't Ask, Iron Angel, and Madman. So nobody else was brave enough to venture in there, and I don't really blame them. I already read the intro. What am I doing? Show's 273. I'm drinking Woodford's. Madman, what do you got?
I have Oatrageous, which is a single malt whiskey made from oats instead of whatever whiskey is normally made from. And I'm trying it straight and on the rocks to see how you're supposed to drink it. So far, it's kind of like Quaker oatmeal that'll get you smashed, with slightly less of the oatmeal flavor and a lot more of the I'm going to get smashed.
Have you tried putting just a few drops of water in it and see what that does to it?
That cube's kind of melty. Let me see.
No. Straight and then like a couple of drops of water.
No, I haven't.
On some whiskeys, that like goes nuts with the flavor. Like once. After that, it's, you know, whiskey. But, and don't do it too much because then you're just, you know, wasting the whiskey. But like, I'm serious, like two or three drops of water. So, so anyway, Sard, what are you drinking?
Nothing, but I'm going to go get something right now. Probably shut up.
Okay. Are you? I would ask what you're drinking, but I'm afraid of whatever concoction you've come up with.
No, I'm on a liver cleansing diet.
Wow. I think arsenic does that. Don't drink it. It'll kill you.
Oh, I'm just on water, dude. Drink enough booze while those two are out here.
Fair enough.
But we have an interesting one, almost an inception. I think it might be slightly progressive as well. I had Texas-style barbecue ribs in an Irish pub in the Australian Outback. Is that progressive enough?
I honestly have no idea.
Were they beef ribs or pork ribs?
Pork, I think.
No, weren't they beef?
I honestly don't remember now.
Doesn't matter, but we were...
Yeah, you see, if it was progressive, they would have been the vegan ribs made from soy, or, you know, if you were going vegan light turkey. That's like what turkey burgers are, right?
Yep.
Vegan light, yes. Yeah. I'm saying that now to every vegan I know.
Or
I'm
like,
going to go talk to
vegan?
Her tomorrow.
I'm going to talk to her tomorrow.
Oh, fuck.
Yep, special treatment. I just learned turkey burgers are vegan light. You can eat those now.
What? Okay. I'll just sit over here.
Madman, get a camera before you do this.
I'll use my old phone camera, because when I get my next new phone, I don't want it to break so soon.
So, alright, I got a doozy for our discussion tonight. I've actually got three articles related to the discussion. We're going to start with the Daily Stormer website, just, you know, getting kind of blammed off the internet. And I guess before I start talking about this, we should kind of point out prejudging people based on the amount of melanin in their skin or whether or not they follow certain religions is kind of dumb. You should prejudge them based on the shit they say and do, and whether they, like, you know, kill people or blow things up.
But, you know what? We just need to add a little more lard to this greasy pole we're about to climb onto.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's gonna end well. Yep.
I like prejudging people based on whether they prefer the Beatles or Elvis Presley, personally.
Okay, fair enough. That's actually a, you know, there is accounting for taste. But so the first two articles are from Ars Technica, and then the last one is from The Atlantic. So the first one from Ars Technica: the Cloudflare CEO says his Daily Stormer takedown was arbitrary and dangerous. He literally says, "I woke up I woke up this morning in a bad mood and decided to kick them off the internet." Until recently, Cloudflare prided itself on its unwavering commitment to free speech. Even when he was criticized for providing services to alleged terrorist group in 2013, CEO Matthew Prince stood firm, insisting that a website is speech, it is not a bomb. So a lot of people were surprised on Wednesday when the company abruptly changed its tune and canceled the account of the neo-Nazi site Daily Stormer. The action seemed to fly in the face of everything Cloudflare claimed to believe recently as May. An internal company email obtained by Gizmodo, Prince acknowledged that the decision was exactly as arbitrary as it seemed. "My rationale for making this decision was simple. The people behind the Daily Stormer are assholes, and I'd had enough," Prince wrote. "Let me be clear. This was an arbitrary decision." Prince wrote that he woke up the morning in a bad mood, decided to kick him off the internet. "It was a decision I could make because I'm the CEO of a major internet infrastructure company." In the same email, Prince argued that it's dangerous for that kind of power to be concentrated in any one person's hands. "It's important that what we did today not set a precedent, that the right answer is for us to be consistently content neutral." Except he didn't reinstate their access, did he?
The way you not set the precedent as you let them back on the internet. And this is going to come from a guy that thinks the government should do next to nothing. With companies doing this, it might be time for the U.S. to nationalize the internet. Like, ouch. We control domain names.
What's going to stop them from doing it then, though?
The First Amendment. It's illegal for the federal government to do what he just did. It's not illegal for a private company to do what he did.
In a company blog post that appeared later on Wednesday, Prince argued that the internet needed a better system for determining which content should be taken down, and one that gives publishers a right to due process and doesn't put power in those decisions over the hands of a few CEOs like Prince. Of course, the decision is likely to set a precedent, even if Prince hopes it's a one-time occurrence. Cloudflare has helped to establish an industry-wide norm that some content is too offensive to be hosted at any mainstream technology company. In the future, public will suspect that if an infrastructure provides service to a site, it's because they don't actually find it objectionable. Which I think that's actually the author's conjecture at the bottom there is the part of this that actually bothers me, because you know what, they're a bunch of idiots. Do I care if they actually get kicked off the internet? And only insofar as that it's going to set the example that if you don't kick off people you disagree with, you can be held liable for it, which kind of defeats the whole free safe harbor provisions of a lot of laws. Basically, this is Cloudflare acting as an editor, and the moment you start editing content, you are now responsible for it. So this was dumb, because now that Cloudflare has edited content because they disagreed with it, it's going to be much easier to make the argument that they should be editing content because it's copyright infringement or because it's offensive or against some idea of, say, European law, because I know they've got a lot more. More, what would you say, stronger hate speech laws than the United States?
Yes.
So, there is no guaranteed freedom of speech.
Dicros has a good point. This is Cloudflare saying ISIS is good and the Storm Fags are bad.
So continuing on Ars Technica here, the Daily Stormer tried to move to a Russian host because basically GoDaddy decided that the Daily Stormer violated their terms of service and ended their domain registration. Apparently they were registered through GoDaddy. They tried to move to Google. Google then killed their registration. Then they moved to a Russian site. Now, I don't think this article touches on it, but the Russian site actually kicked them off as well. So you're starting to see ISPs refusing to provide these guys service, and it's because they've got a lot of attention lately. But you've picked a side, an editorial side. You're saying, no, we're not going to let this speech onto our service. Now, I don't... It's the free speech argument, right? I mean, I hate what they're saying a lot of times, at least when the people who are serious about it, half the time they're trolls, right? But, the ones who actually are serious about killing the Jews or, you know, because of how much melanin in your skin matters or something. I mean, yeah, it's stupid. You know, what they are stupid. I don't know how else to put it. But they have the right to say it. I mean, you're going to start pushing more and more crap onto like Tor sites or Freenet, and it's. I'm trying to figure out how to handle this because I don't. It's not like I like what they're saying, but I don't think they should be shut down for it if it's not illegal. Like, you know, kiddie porn is illegal. It should not be hosted. There's actually a law against it.
Kiddie porn isn't speech. You actually took a picture of an underage child.
Without their consent.
Yeah.
Well, they can't give consent, but still. That's conflating an action with speech. So kiddie porn is illegal, but a forum about kiddie porn where they're not actually posting kiddie pictures would be speech.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of walking the fine line, but my point is the same. If what they're doing is not illegal, it's just distasteful, you shouldn't be kicking them off of all these services because you set the precedent. Because, okay, today it's the Stormer, you know, right? But you're going to start seeing...
Please tomorrow be DeviantArt. Please tomorrow be DeviantArt.
DeviantArt or... Yeah, I could see that. Go ahead, Ari.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Who's next? That's what we're looking at.
Well, I mean, any site that's defined as alt-right, because, oh, you're associated with those racists. Yeah, we need to kick your site off, too. Or,
Didn't get rid of 4chan?
Well, 4chan got bought by somebody, and they've been trying to clean it up.
Good luck.
go ahead, man. I think you were trying to say something.
I was going to say it's not just the alt-right. There are racists on the left. There are movements from groups affiliated with Black Lives Matter. I'd have to actually pull up their names, so I don't want to say it's Black Lives Matter, because it's an umbrella term that applies to many groups. But there are some groups pushing for segregation, like black-only spaces, and some of them are kind of racist against white people. Are they going to get banned from the internet?
Well, and, you know, I mean, if this is the model you're going to apply... Although, now let's flip it on its side. You know, let's come at the other one. This article from The Atlantic. Can the U.S. government seize an anti-Trump website's visitor logs? They have a link to, what's the website? DisruptJ20.org, which organized some of the direct action protests on the day of Donald Trump's presidential inauguration in Washington, D.C. The site contains general information about civil disobedience and political protests and advises several Washington-specific events. Some of the protests on the inauguration day turned violent, and the U.S. government has since charged more than 200 people with felony rioting or destruction of property in connection to the events on January 20th. It alleged that some of the suspects were connected to the Disrupt J20 effort. If you click the link above, or even if you were nowhere near Washington on inauguration day, the government is now allegedly interested in you. The U.S. Department of Justice is attempting to seize the visitor logs and IP addresses of anyone who has visited DisruptJ20.org, as well as any email addresses, user logs, and photos collected by the website, according to DreamHost, a Los Angeles-based web host and domain name registrar. The data encompasses more than 1.3 million IP addresses, as well as the email addresses and photos of thousands of people, the company said. DreamHost is not politically connected to DisruptJ20, but provides paid web hosting services for the group. DreamHost has so far refused to comply with the government search warrant, arguing that it constitutes an investigatory overreach and a clear abuse of governmental authority. That information could be used to identify any individual who used the site to exercise and express political speech protected under the Constitution First Amendment. It should be enough to set off alarm bells in anyone's mind, a blog post said. So, This is kind of coming at it from this side, but instead of the companies deciding they don't want to host the speech, this is actually the government going to the going to a hoster and like, no. They're saying things we don't agree with. We want to see.
Does this have a forum? Allowed to?
Huh?
This site have a forum? Or is it just a static page people are clicking on and reading?
You know, I don't know. Let's just click on the link and look at it. Mad about DreamHost subpoena. I don't see a forum. It looks like a blog, actually. All
right. And I'm going to go with no. And the reason for that is if it had a forum, then it could be argued that they were organizing violence. So it's a bunch of people going in and planning a crime. But in order for the warrant to be valid, they'd have to show that that was happening. So someone that they've arrested already would have to say, well, we planned it on this site. And then everyone on the forum on that site could be potential suspects. You're just checking to see who there was planning this crime. If it's just a static site, then they're espousing political speech and not planning a crime. And if I click on a site and the author says, hey, let's go bomb the federal building, I didn't agree to bomb the federal building. I wasn't planning to bomb the federal building. I read an article written by a dumbass. Go talk to the dumbass.
So, I guess where I'm kind of going between these two, and there are different sides of an extreme. I think the open internet and the free internet's dead. I think in the next few years we're going to start seeing shit get locked down. If you're hosting the wrong kind of speech, you're going to get kicked off. If you're espousing wrong think, you're going to have whatever website or whatever channel shut down. We saw some of this with Patreon and some political speech. We've seen this with, you know, of course, all over YouTube. I don't know how to attack this.
And on that note, I'd just like to announce IHN will be back.
Nice. So,
Morphs is going to be hosting it.
What the fuck is this?
I want to point out there's a difference in these two articles.
Yeah, one's the government, one's not.
No, one is the Storm Fags can't say anything. They are being denied their right to speech. J20 is still permitted to post. They're still permitted their right to speech. They're just trying to see who's reading it. So they're not being edited, they're not being censored, they're not being forced off. They think there may be a conspiracy among members of J20, and they're trying to find out who those members are. So they're not, it's not even both being censored. One's being censored, one's not.
That's a fair point, actually. That's a fair point.
Yeah, so these are like two completely different problems. One is Al Capone's warehouse are planning to, I don't know, blow something up. The cops want to look around. The other one is, you can't go talk at a Burger King about football, effectively. I know it's not football, it's racist shit, but one, you can't speak. The other, we're seeing if someone's planning something. That's why I asked if there's a forum. Because if there's not, there's no plan, and it's just, we're posting something, and now the government wants to know who's reading it. But I can still post stuff.
Well, to be fair, I only clicked a little bit around the website. Psychro said they did have a forum. I didn't see it on their page, but I think I went like a page deep, just kind of scrolled down a little bit. I'm like, yep, we're done here. Well, so,
if they have a forum and they have reason to believe something was planned by J20 members, then...
Oh, don't ask said that. I'm sorry. I'm just skimming the IRC.
Then they have possibly an argument on getting who was in the forum so we can track down who's planning shit. Now, probable cause should still apply. I'm hoping, since they have a warrant, they were able to show probable cause to a judge.
Sard, you've been quiet.
I was just wondering if the... Is Cloudflare a publicly traded company? Like, do they have a board?
I don't know. That's probably something you can just quickly Google and find out.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if he's... The CEO is going to have to answer to anyone for doing that, because that's just super fucked up.
Cloudflare is a private company.
So yeah, he doesn't answer to anyone except for the owner.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That might be an old article. That could go public in 20... Cloudflare, Wikipedia. Here we go. This will tell me. U.S. company provides content delivery network. Products, internet. I think they're still private. They've had funding rounds. Okay, that's what I'm seeing. Cloudflare's raised a lot of money funding. They are not... I as far as I can tell, they're not public. I think they're private.
It looks like they've got plans for IPO.
Oh, they're putting in for an IPO. That's why I'm confused. Okay.
Yep.
That article I just posted things.
Is 2016.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I'm with you guys. It's super fucked up. Shouldn't have been able to do that. No CEO should wake up and say, who am I going to kick off the internet today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just because you're saying something stupid or repugnant doesn't mean you should have the right to speak taken away from you, because it's a slippery slope, and that's a logical fallacy. But at the same time, politics are not logical.
Well,
so
I'm not going to go with the slippery slope. Copernicus was wrong about a heliocentric solar system until he was right.
Reaching for the reference there, madman.
Well, wow. I forgot the guy that was famous for it, Galileo. Copernicus said it first, but I was blanking on Galileo. He was the guy I was originally going to use. But whenever you're saying something, you're wrong until proven right. Some speech, you're eventually going to get proven right on. So listen to everyone. Decide for yourself who's a fucking moron.
I have one. How do we know the CEO of Cloudflare wasn't a regular Stormfag user, got into a flame war, and just went fuck it and pulled their plug?
That would be so unfair in a forum fight, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would be amazing. I wish that was the email.
I would like to make aspersions that the CEO of Cloudflare was a regular Stormfag user.
Oh, damn. You imagine getting into an argument with the sock puppet of, like, one of the members of the board of Twitter or some bullshit? It's like, why is my account keep getting shut down? I don't understand.
It'd be equivalent to calling Moot a faggot.
Yeah, but everybody does that.
Yeah.
That's because Moot's a faggot. I mean, I've seen him sucking dick. He's a fucking faggot.
The real question is, why were you watching?
It was on B, and I clicked on it by accident. Don't go to B. The moral of this story is, don't go to B.
Go to B.
Madman is just full of clippable sound bites tonight.
Yes, he is.
So, the point is, I'm honestly worried about the future of where this stuff's going. I think the internet's going to get locked down.
I guess it's one thing if a private company says, okay, we don't like what you're saying, we're going to shut down your hosting, but once again, it's a slippery slope to now it's the government saying that, and it's because you're, allegedly hosting pirated content, and then now you're freaking...
Once you break that line and you start editing editing what's going up for content, not just because something is illegal or not illegal, you're now responsible for everything that's on your hosting service, and which means, if somebody else has something horrible hosted on Cloudflare and you complain about it, well, you took down the Stormfag site, you better take this down too, or I'm going to sue you for discrimination, because you obviously are editing content, which means you're no longer you're no longer subject to safe harbor, if I understand the law correctly.
I wonder if his legal counsel, Cloudflare CEO's legal counsel, is like, what the fuck were you thinking?
They probably are, because he's out there saying, yeah, this was totally fucking arbitrary.
Yeah, so like I said, now next kiddie porn site that we find, you're behind Cloudflare? Oh, yeah, Cloudflare, hey, now you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're going to pay us.
Yeah, you were hosting this shit and you didn't edit it.
What are the barriers to entry to this? Does anyone know offhand?
For what, getting Cloudflare?
Yeah, for like, if I wanted to start my next Cloudflare, what would I need to do?
A website and control of your DNS entries. No, you meant to start a new Cloudflare.
Yeah, to start a new Cloudflare, if I wanted to be my own company.
Okay, you need data centers all over the place, because what Cloudflare does is they take a mirror of whatever you upload to them, and they upload it to several different geographically strategically placed data centers, and then you have what are called I forget the actual technical term, but there are IP addresses that are they go to different data centers based on where you are geographically so that you get good ping. They are a content delivery network. So the idea is that if I upload a photo to a web page that's closer by Cloudflare and I send out the link on Twitter and for some asinine reason everyone in the world is now clicking on it, they're going to copy that photo to a bunch of their different data centers so that the people in Africa, when they click it, they're going to a data center that's in Africa. The people in Europe are going to a data center that's in Europe. I'm greatly oversimplifying, so nobody kill me on this. And I've been drinking since I got home at 6. So
denial of service prevention also.
They do. They do load balancing. So they also do a lot of controls on routing so that if you have... Because, again, they're mirroring your content, right? So if you start getting DDoSed, Cloudflare can just throw more bandwidth and throw more servers at it and try to just basically eat the DDoS by having more hosting than the DDoS can knock down. So a lot of big name sites use Cloudflare because it's expensive. It's less expensive for some of these services to pay Cloudflare than it is to have a DDoS attack and actually get knocked down. Like I think Reddit and I know Facebook used to use them. I don't know that they still do. Because you used to see Cloudflare CDN stuff when you were doing packet inspection. And I used to run Snort for university, so I used to see Cloudflare DNS for all kinds of shit. You can get a free service through them, too, or at least you used to be able to. I always kind of wonder if they're working with the government and just sniffing all the traffic, but that's my own personal conspiracy theory. Setting up a new Cloudflare means setting up data centers all over the world and throwing tons of bandwidth and servers out to do it.
So, and they will crush you before you even get off the ground.
Well, they already have the infrastructure established, so unless you already have a lot of money to throw at this, it's going to be hard to come in and spin up a startup.
They'll try to undercut you.
Yep.
They're not the only CDN out there. There are a couple of different ones. And a lot of bigger name sites, like I think Facebook has spun up basically their own at this point. I think Google has as well.
So, if this is just load balancing, can you go straight onto the web without them? Because StormFag just find someone and just be like, okay, this is my site. DNS being knocked off of? Like, are they not getting assigned an address anymore?
Well, it depends. If you're big enough, if your site is busy enough, like if for some asinine reason Galaxy 15 Radio was getting thousands of hits a second, I'd have to put it behind a CDN because our hosting company couldn't handle it.
Okay.
It's a way of going, okay, I've got one server. I don't have the infrastructure to spin it up, and if I put it in Amazon, I'd be broke in a week. So, Cyclos is right. Akamai is usually the big competitor to Cloudflare. So, and I see that one a lot too.
But slightly, they can still get on the internet. They'll just be more susceptible to denial of service.
Right.
And if 30 people hop on their site, it'll go down.
That's possible. Yeah, it depends on where they're hosting it. So, but if they are, with Cloudflare, you can usually get contracts and flat fees. Whereas if you go host it on Amazon and spin it up, you're paying for cycles and compute. So somebody DDoSing you could actually bankrupt you in service fees. Whereas with the Cloudflare, it's under a contract and they'll do it up to a point. So, I don't know.
And let's face it, the storm fags would get DOSed like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And you could even argue that they deserve it. But at the same time, I mean, again, I hate seeing anybody censored because I truly, we run this station for how long now? How long do I have to say this? I buy into free speech.
Yeah, it was a lot more fun when there were more people in here that disagreed with me. I think I ran them off.
We kind of did, didn't we?
Well, coming into the channel with a 12-gauge really bolsters enthusiasm, Madman, to disagree with you.
But that one's in my closet. It's the 38 that's close by.
It was pretty funny watching you blow out a microphone trying to shoot somebody through the microphone, though. So.
Still missed me.
Yeah.
I'm blaming the internet's aim, not mine.
I think you're going to start. I wonder if we're going to see something like Freenet pick up a lot of steam, where because the way it works, everything gets distributed out to a whole bunch of home computers, and it's kind of hard to track the source of it, and you don't even know it's hosted in your Freenet account. So
the only problem is you'd have to get more people to use Freenet.
Yeah, I think it's probably like less than 1,000 people who are on that thing at any. Well, it's probably more than that. I don't know what it is. I haven't looked in a while. So, anyways, let's go on to the regular news stories and things that are less weird. From airspacemag.com, U.S. Army puts a halt to its use of Chinese-made DJI drones. Citing a worry over cyber vulnerabilities, U.S. Army this week ordered that all drones built by China-based DJI, the world's biggest drone maker, be immediately removed from Army service. The order comes from following a classified study of the issue completed in May by the Army Research Laboratory, and in the simultaneous release of a Navy mandatorium titled Operational Risks with Regards to DJI Family of Products. According to aviation attorney... How do you get that title? Aviation attorney. That's cool. Jonathan Rupert, the FAA recently created more than 500 security-rated flight restrictions prohibited unpiloted aircraft flights over military locations. Last month, Air Force General Mike Holmes of the Air Combat Command at Langley AFB in Virginia revealed that quadcopters had penetrated controlled airspace at unidentified air bases, with one drone flying overflying a flight line. Dumbass, why would you fly a drone there? Drones are known to overfly sensitive nuclear sites, and Holmes has requested authority to down unpiloted aircraft. Oh, they're not allowed to shoot them down? That's stupid. According to Patrick Egan, North American editor, okay, if you're dumb enough to fly your Phantom or whatever drone you have over a military base, you should expect it to get shot down.
Yes. I'm kind of surprised they're not allowed to blow it out of the sky with a 12-gauge.
Me too.
I mean, I could understand, don't use an M16. You have to worry about how far the bullet's going to go before it hits the ground. But birdshot was designed for this.
According to Patrick Egan, North American editor for SUAS News, which covers the drone industry, this is not the first time DJI products have been grounded by U.S. government agencies over security concerns. He says NASA and the Department of Energy have already stopped using DJI products. When Egan looked into why, they weren't allowed to use the drones, quote, because they are Chinese, quote.
Yes.
Hey, Daily Stormer, we got something for you.
Yeah.
Because they're Chinese.
Information provided by the Department of Interior in last year's response to a Freedom of Information Act by cybersecurity expert David Kovar confirms that DJI products have already been granted by the Department of Energy due to security concerns. The same documents show that Interior has decided to purchase products built by California-based 3D Robotics because of security concerns about DJI. Just this week, however, DJI announced partnership with 3DR, whereby DJI aircraft will become compatible with 3DR surveying software. So I'm going to quit reading the article because it goes on into some other military stuff. And DJI did, because I know several people who have those drones, and I've been looking into drones myself for racing, DJI did recently put out an upgrade where, well, I quote-unquote upgrade, where all kinds of telemetry is being uploaded back to their service. So there have been a lot of people saying, don't do it, don't upgrade, because they cripple the drones if you don't let them collect all kinds of telemetry and metrics.
Really? That's...
Yeah, it's a little
crazy.
Just another
freaking reason not to use those.
Build your own, it's not that fucking hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I just had to check because I wanted to know if this would affect anything interesting. The Predator drone is not made by either of those companies. What's being grounded are a bunch of little drones used mainly for reconnaissance and aren't really used that much in war zones yet.
No, they're photography drones.
Yeah. So nothing interesting happened. For a moment, I'm like, are we going to be grounding half the Predator fleet because it's made in China? And why the fuck are we letting the Chinese make Predator drones? And then I was sad that didn't happen. Because I really like making fun of stupid people, and they weren't that stupid.
Damn close, though.
Yes.
So, Anyways, next article up is from BroadcastingCable.com. AT&T has lost its challenge to Louisville's one-touch ordinance in a victory.
Oh, well, wait a minute. That's good. Google was challenging them. Never mind. I just remembered this.
Weren't we just talking about ISPs setting up their own, or your big sites setting up their own ISPs to get around net neutrality shit?
Yep.
Okay, cool. In a victory for broadband overbuilders, a Louisville, Kentucky U.S. District Court judge has ruled that a local one-touch make-ready ordinance related to access to utility poles is within the city's rights to manage right-of-way, granting a city request for that summary judgment and denying AT&T's request that it declare the ordinance unlawful and block enforcement. AT&T and the Louisville Metro Council have filed cross motions for summary judgment, and the city prevailed. AT&T sought to overturn One Touch ordinance, which had been sought by Google Fiber, that made it easier for competitors, AT&T, Bell South, like Google, to attach to utility poles, including rearranging existing Bell South attachments without providing notice to AT&T beforehand, unless it would cause an outage. Comcast also filed suit, citing a conflict with FCC pole attachment rules. But the FCC, under then-chairman Tom Wheeler, weighed in at the court to say that the FCC's pole attachment rules did not supersede local one-touch ordinance. So what they're saying is the federal government, FCC, cannot tell city ordinances what to do.
They're also saying Google Fiber's going into Louisville. Ah, guess who's touching himself?
Elon Musk, but besides that...
And I'm going to get fiber internet, guys.
Cool. I'm going to be setting some things up in your back room. I hope you don't mind.
Yeah, I'll send you
some
servers.
I actually learned I have an attic, so you're setting it up there.
Fair enough. AT&T has told the court that the ordinance improperly allowed competitors to seize AT&T's property and to alter or relocate AT&T's property without AT&T's consent and in most circumstances without prior notice to AT&T, and that the Kentucky PUC, not the Louisville Metro, had exclusive jurisdiction to regulate pole attachments and was preempted by federal law, in this case FCC regs, implementing that law that differed from Louisville's ordinance. The court concluded that the ordinance was within Louisville's police powers and that the regulating public rights of way is an express purpose of the ordinance. It also pointed out to the FCC's advisory that its pole attachment jurisdiction does not extend where states have otherwise regulated them. Today's court decision in Louisville is a win for competition, consumers, and local communities who have been leading the fight against broadband monopolies who are blocking faster speeds, better service, and lower prices, said Chip Pickering, CEO of Encompass, which represents competitive carriers including Google Fiber. One choice is not a choice, it's a monopoly, and we hope the FCC will heed the calls of local communities like Louisville to adopt one-touch make-ready to speed broadband deployment, boost local investment, and create more jobs, implementing one-touch make-ready policies, streamlining small cell deployment, and freeing apartment and condo residents from monopoly-controlled buildings should be a national priority. Well, I'd love to see more competition in the ISP space, so he's probably right.
Definitely right. I think we all can agree on that.
Well, I mean, all these arguments about net neutrality and everything fucking else would just go away if I had a choice. Like, you know the reason you don't see Ford going in and saying, oh, no, these cars can only drive on Ford-approved roads? Because if Ford pulled that shit, everybody would go buy a Chrysler or a Toyota or whatever else. Because there's competition in the space. You can't only play these games so long. If, you know, you piss everybody off, they can just go down the street. You know, if Coca-Cola decided, you know what, guys? The drink can be 3% arsenic. Nobody's going to care. Everybody's going to drink Pepsi. I'm just or RC or the SodaStream stuff. I don't know. My point is, you know, I have two choices for ISP, my cable provider or my cell phone. And my cell phone provider kind of sucks, and my cable provider also sucks. What do I do? I put up with shitty internet is what I do right now. So
don't cry to me, bitch.
Fair enough.
I will, bitch. Just because you're starving doesn't mean I can't whine about not having a T-bone steak. But yes, I'm happy that this ruling happened.
Yeah. And so, Madman, how long? When are we putting the server racks in your house?
Well, I'm thinking if Google Fiber actually installs in Louisville, about 6 months after that, they'll might be in my market. So I'm hoping a year, and as soon as they're here, I don't give a fuck what they charge.
All right, I've got an R710 going in your attic right now. That's just happening. I don't care if you're okay with it or not. This is happening.
But yeah, I don't care. As soon as fiber's here from Google, I'm taking it. My ISP has pissed me off.
No.
ISP, don't kick me off the internet for at least 2 years. I want Google to be here first. I'm getting addicted to video games.
Getting.
All right. Next article.
I can live in denial.
Next article is from the Washington Post. I'm not actually going to read it. Apparently, there's an app called... Where was it? I saw it on the list. I cannot find the name of the app, but it's kind of like an Uber, except instead of driving people around, it's restaurants and stores paying people to go out and stand in lines like actors to make it look like their store is popular.
What?
What? This is why I don't want to read the whole article. It's apparently called Crowdcrafting. Sucrus, that's it. Sucrus, Surkus is the app. So, like, you fill out your profile, and if you fit the market that they're wanting, that the store or restaurant is wanting to portray as standing in line waiting to make it look like they're really popular and really busy, they'll pay you to stand in line.
You know what I do when I see a store that has a line out the front? I go
somewhere else.
Store.
I'm not waiting in fucking
exactly.
line.
Yeah,
I'm not waiting
exactly.
in line.
I don't know if they've thought this all the way through or not.
Apparently they're saying you can, like, you know, have people show up to parties and stuff like that to make your business look more popular. But I'm just thinking, if you're paying people to come out and stand in line or go to your bar or you go to your restaurant, are you really coming out ahead?
It depends. If it's a startup, it's really hard to get that initial number of people in. Because a lot of people are hesitant on going to a new place. So sometimes you need a kick to get people in the door. Now, if you're an existing business and you're paying to get people to be there, hold up the sign. Just leave now. You've already lost.
Yep.
Now, if they switch this to, we're now taking pre-orders to have people stand in line for Black Friday, I'm going to predict the number of people getting shot next year is going to go up, because I'm going fucking ballistic if they have shills keeping me from getting my $5 fucking VCR.
Madman still buying VCRs.
I was going to say, the piece of tech that he goes for is a fucking VCR.
You know what? Hey. Those things are hard to find.
It is to find one of those?
No one wants them.
I have the original Star Wars on VHS, and I can't get theatrical release on DVD because George Lucas is a fag.
Okay, do you know who has one and got one at a White Elephant Christmas party and fucking hated it and wanted to shoot the person that gave it to him? Is Fox.
You?
No,
oh.
Fox
you
has
one. You were the one who gave Fox the VCR.
I wish.
and speaking of out of date tech, what Sod really needs is a laser disc reader.
That's true. I do need that. Yeah, I have. Are you got me the original Star Wars in laser disc?
I was
fucking
there.
Sick. Yeah,
he beat me to the stack.
I move fast when I'm startled, madman.
I noticed. And for some reason, rhinoceros-sized humans startle you quickly.
I'm trying to figure out if Madman just called himself fat or not.
Yep. I was grazing at one bin. He got startled and flopped to another, and I couldn't beat him to it because I was too damn fat.
All right, last article I have up for tonight is from the Hacker News. Backdoor found in popular server management software used by hundreds of companies. Cyber criminals are becoming more adept, innovative, and stealthy with each passing day. They are now adopting more clandestine techniques that come with limitless attack vectors and are harder to detect. Recently, cyber crooks managed to infiltrate the update mechanism for popular server management software package and altered it to include an advanced backdoor, which lasted for at least 17 days until researchers discovered it. Dubbed Shadowpad, the secret backdoor gave attackers complete control over networks hidden behind legit cryptographically signed software sold by NetSrang. Used by hundreds of banks, media firms, energy companies, and pharmaceutical firms, telecommunications providers, transportation, logistics, and other companies. So they got into the auto update for NetSrang and like put a backdoor in it. Like, holy crap!
That's always been the argument against auto update.
NetSrang
always
makes
a risk.
I know people who use X Shell, which is something NetSrang makes. So like, I've got to go give them shit now. But I mean, it's like, I know a lot of people who use their stuff. It's like, fuck.
I'm kind of torn. Do you put that on your resume whenever you're applying for the NSA or not?
Yes. It's like, they love that shit. FBI, not so much.
No, yeah. The FBI, you have to say, I was in another country at the time. I wasn't breaking your law.
Yeah, so according to researchers, it's Kaspersky who discovered the well-hidden backdoor. Someone managed to hijack the NetSrang update mechanism and silently insert the backdoor into the software update so that malicious code would silently deliver to all of its clients with NetSrang's legitimate signed certificate. The attackers of the Petya ransomware that infected computers around the world in June used the same tactic by compromising the update mechanism for UK and financial software provider called MeDoc and swapped in a dodgy update including NotPetya. So the secret backdoor was dislocated. So anyways, yeah, X-Manager, X-Shell, XFTP, and XLPD all had a backdoor inserted into them over the past 20 days.
Wow. So you said it was cryptographically signed also?
Yeah. Yeah.
The package was? So they compromised their development
servers? The whole
servers?
Damn thing.
Oh my god. Not only the auto update servers, the development.
Yeah, you know people
servers.
Who use X Shell too, don't you, Sard?
Actually, I don't. I don't know what that is, but
it's a fancy version of PuTTY.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's and it contained NotPetya? That's even yeah,
no,
that's
no,
terrible.
This, they were saying that there were other companies affected by the same thing. But yeah, that NotPetya might be how they got into the upgrade system.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the only thing I can say is that's the dangers of having an auto-update mechanism. Like, sure, it's handy and convenient as fuck, but you're accepting that risk, especially if they automatically get pushed out and installed. It's one thing to say, hey, there's an update, click to update. It's another thing to say, you know, hey, there's an update, we're installing it, and you're, you know, ready to go.
I want to know what banks were infected.
There are a lot of sysadmins who like X Shell.
Is it okay? Is that a GUI, like PuTTY terminal?
Yes.
Supports different protocols and stuff. Okay, I do know what you're talking about then. I know one guy that uses that. He doesn't work for my company anymore, but
yeah, I know a couple of people who use it. I'm actually going to be shooting this article saying, "Hey, when the fuck was the last time you upgraded to software?"
Not really.
Well, they paid for it. Like, why would you pay for PuTTY?
I have no idea.
Because it's super PuTTY and awesome shit.
Well,
hacks.
I mean, he showed me some of the stuff he does with it, where like he can open up 30 different shells and send the same commands to all of them. But it's like, yeah, I can do that with any Linux server. What's your point?
Okay, that's what I was gonna say.
PDSH,
any Linux terminal,
motherfucker,
will do that.
Come on.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody who doesn't do sysadmin is like, what are they talking about? I don't get it. Fucking nerds.
Essentially, you're waving your ticket traffic at this point.
Kinda, yeah, actually. Isn't that what techno shamanism is? You know, shaking your dick at the computer and hoping for the best?
Yep. I've done plenty of that lately.
Don't forget cutting yourself. You have to know when to cut and where.
I cut on dotted line.
So, anyways, let's see what response we get to that. Button, where's the fucking... There it is. Hadouken! So, all I have for Digital Dojo tonight is an interesting article on securitytraining.com, and it's specifically on escaping Chroot backdoors for Linux machines. For anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, Chroot is a program on Linux that lets you change where the root mount of the operating system is. It's a way of kind of segregating out processes. Or also, if you're booting off a live CD and need to fix your hard drive installation, you boot off the live CD with your root credentials, then Chroot into the hard disk so that you can change the password on somebody else's Linux. Not that I've had to do that often. Anyways, yeah, Chroot's an interesting and useful command. A lot of people use it to try to isolate processes so that if somebody does manage to, say, break into your web server or other thing, they end up kind of stuck in a jail that can't really get them much. This article explains how to set up a Chroot jail in a virtual machine on Kali Linux, how to set up a user that's stuck in the Chroot jail, and then what commands you can use to get out of the Chroot jail. And they've got pictures of some anime that I don't recognize interspersed throughout the article. So if you're an anime, maybe it'll help you out as well. I don't actually know. But apparently it's possible to just rerun Bash from inside the Chroot jail and get out of it. So
that's really bad. I used Chroot for an SFTP server. So I will definitely be looking at that.
You might want to look into it. First guess available commands by typing in a few, cd, ls, password. If the shell commands are available, or if you can run bin bash, or if you can run sh, you can probably get out of the Chroot jail. It also depends on what the Chroot jail is running as. So, yeah, it's probably worth your time reading it if you're relying on Chroot for stuff.
You have to have a shell, though. Well, that's what... Like I said, I only use it for SFTP, so that might not apply.
Well, that depends. Do you... With SFTP, which is generally an open SSH server, have you gone in and set all the shells to, bin false or something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's a helpful thing to do. So, just FYI, anybody setting up a open SFTP server, go set all the user accounts that log into that to bin false for their shell at the, like an Etsy password. So that if somebody does manage to get code execution, they can't actually do anything unless they know how to run a shell. Which is not that hard if you know what you're doing with SSH. But it's a fun trick because it screws with people, and most people can't figure out how to get around it because they use Buddy. They don't actually use a Linux terminal. Citroen, I guess. Or that new thing they added to Windows 10. Has anybody played with that? I played with it for a few minutes, and that's about it. Like, you can load Bash on Windows 10. Has anyone else played with that?
No, I tried the other way around. I tried running PowerShell on Linux the other day.
How'd that go?
It was fine, but limited.
It was fine. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
It ran like a three-legged horse.
It ran. It, like, half the commandlets I wanted weren't there, but... whatever, I guess it's PowerShell on Linux.
Of course it wasn't. What makes PowerShell useful is all the .NET commands. If you're on Linux, what is it, Mono? I'm a giant nerd. Anyways, that's all I got. I think we're a short show. I think we're like 8 minutes short of a full show. Madman, say something interesting.
Oat whiskey is the bomb and will get you smashed. Oh, this is 126.6 proof. Okay, so it's a little stouter than some other. But I like it.
A little stouter?
Sard, say something interesting.
I'm sitting here going through my head of which servers I'm going to be putting in Madman's attic once he gets Google Fiber.
Are you? Have you got something interesting?
I'm just wondering, should I try and keep up with Madman by drinking Avgas? About the same proof.
Actually, that's got the same proof as the moonshine I was drinking the other day. Oh, speaking of, I have discovered through personal experimentation, if you are worried you might be getting food poisoning because you've accidentally eaten something that was expired in January, four or five shots of moonshine... I did not get sick.
the hell were you eating that expired in January? And it's what? The 8th now? 8th month?
Pizza
August?
Roll. They were frozen.
Oh,
sure
I was
going to
say, they're frozen. You'll be fine.
They have bees on them?
I ate a frozen pizza that was 3 or 4 years expired. That was fine. Tastes a little funny. Guys. Guys,
wow.
I'm fine, right? I'm fine.
It tasted a little funny. These are the wrong color. You bite into it, you see the wrong color, you kind of panic
rolls.
A little bit. It's sort of like when you bite an apple and you see half of a worm. It's like, oh, God.
Just that last bite had some sweetener and some protein. You're good.
That was Fox's beer that he bought was still sitting in the fridge. And I accidentally grabbed one after having two or three of my regulars, and I'm like, ooh, I think this beer has gone off. And then,
well,
and
like,
the funny
like
thing
heavy.
About it, I'm like, I'm going to finish it. There could be something wrong with this beer, but I'm going to finish it.
Goddamn right it is. You know why? Because it's fucking beer. That's why.
Yeah,
you
that was a fucking.
Shit.
It was a stout. I was drinking lager.
Did anybody finish Heavy's beer after the first meetup?
God, no.
No.
I think it still sits under the Fox's sink, just in case there's an invasion of aliens and we can try to squirt it on them and kill them.
Or, you know, when he needs rubbing alcohol.
Is it Pabst Blue Ribbon or Natty Light?
No,
he brewed
Heavy
beer.
Had homebrew, remember?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Fox
did
has
you miss the first meetup, Madman?
2 liters.
It's lice remover.
Like
it's lice remover. If you've got genital lice, just pour some of that over it, go on, kill them.
Oh. This is kind of techie. The StarCraft remastered release on... I flew 4 hours on it last night.
Okay.
Is that a game?
Yes. Yeah, StarCraft. It's the original StarCraft. It
oh.
just runs on a modern OS. And
yeah.
I played it until 4 a.m. and then realized I have to be at work.
Did they... is new graphics or is it just they fixed the engine so it would run on Windows 10?
They fixed the engine so it runs on Windows 10, slightly better graphics, but not enough to really say, oh, it's great. You can tell the difference between the different Zerg models now. And the Protoss chicken head things now looks like Hanzo's Mohawk. Not Hanzo. Dude, from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh,
Londo.
Yondu.
Yondu,
yeah.
Yeah, Yondu's Mohawk.
Yay, I'm not the only huge nerd.
Protoss? I
yes.
don't know what...
You don't know what...
No, I'm trying to
Eldar.
Think of what unit he's okay, talking
StarCraft
about.
Okay, StarCraft is a ripoff of Warhammer 40K, because Blizzard got away with this shit. The Protoss or the Eldar? I'm not helping, am I?
They're space
no, you
elves?
Are.
They
Makes
don't
sense
look like
me.
Space elves?
I thought they were... I thought Eldar was the energy beings. Are those the space
yeah,
elves?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay, I was wrong. I thought the Eldar was the space elves.
I may not know my Warhammer 40K that well. I'll be honest.
I haven't played 40K that much.
I think it's time to wrap the show because I've obviously we're talking about Warhammer 40K on a fucking tech podcast, and it's not like 3D printing the minis or anything because I looked into that. Turns out there's a fantastic thing called like Hero Forge. And it's great, right up until you see they want $10 a model to get an STL out of it. Like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, do you know why? Have you looked at an army in 40K? $10 a model, you buy one, print up 1,000 of them, here's my fucking army. I'm zerging your ass with Space Marines. Fuck you.
Hero Forge is a different discussion, though, because those are entirely custom.
I think it's meant for like D&D games or stuff like that.
Yeah,
so.
I know people that have bought one, and the only downfall to them is because they are 3D printed, they're super fragile, like way more than a regular plastic mini.
Oh no, whatever. No! I don't want them to 3D print it. I want the model so I can 3D print as many of them as I want.
Oh yeah, well that I'm sure just fucks up their entire.
Well, no, that's why it's $10 an STL. So. I don't know. I need to just learn
That's
Blender
cool.
and be done with
I didn't,
it.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You just go in there and tell it you want, you know, as the download, when you're done putting together your oversized elven girl, you can just, you know, put in there, you want the STL and not the 3D printed model. It's still $10. So, anyways, I think it is time we wrap because we're talking about 3D printing Warhammer 40K minis at this point. So, and I'm sure that's my fault. I don't really know how, and I don't actually care. So instead, I'm just going to play the Pac-Man noise.